well, really Friday afternoon, there was a severe thunderstorm warning for our area. But about 1 o'clock in the afternoon, I was in my study praying and asking the Lord about this morning. And all of a sudden, the power went off. And I noticed the trees were blowing. The wind was howling. I didn't think anything about it. I'd not heard about any kind of tornado activity. I'd watched the news or parts of the weather the night before. But just within about a few minutes, got a telephone call and said, "Did you know there's a tornado that hit Mansfield?" I said, "No, I didn't know." "Really?" "Yeah," I said, "it did damage." "Wow." You know, I wonder if those folks were ready for that tornado. I don't even know if a siren went off. Do you know if a siren went off? I don't think it did. Deanna in the school said they didn't even hear a siren. But I wonder if they were ready. You know, we hear about the weather and we got to be ready and we're not sure about what may happen, but we got to be ready. And I want to tell you today, listen to me, when Jesus comes again, we've got to be ready. Are you ready today if the Lord should come back? Folks in Mansfield weren't ready. Thank God nobody was killed. I've heard one lady was hurt, but we've got to be ready. We had a staff meeting last week on Thursday. I'm privileged to have a wonderful privilege of being a pastor of not only men and women who serve the Lord so faithfully in the body of Christ, but having a staff like Brother Boyd and Josh and Katie and others who serve and work. Anyway, we had a staff meeting on Thursday night from about 6:30 till about 10 o'clock or so, praying and discussing plans. And anyway, I asked, the Lord moved on my heart to ask those that were there, "What is God showing you? What is the Lord doing in your heart? What's on your mind today?" And it was brought up by one of those who was in the meeting. It was brought up this question. "Well, you know, I'm really troubled. Things are happening in our nation, the Boston bombing and then the fire over in Texas and just so many things seem like they're just going just chaotic, and where in the world are we headed?" And this particular person spoke up and said, "You know, I'm concerned about my family. I've got children, and I'm not really sure that if the economy just turns belly up like it has in the past, or persecution begins to intensify like it seems like it's going and doing. What are we to do? Pastor, what are we to do? How are we to respond?" And I'd been thinking about the subject prior to even that point being making, that point rather being stated. And so I want you to know, beloved, that we are living in urgent days. I believe that with all my heart. And I think God is speaking to us as a church and us as families that we had better be busy about the Master's business, because the Lord Jesus is coming again and things are happening in our world. Now, I know you've heard that for years, and yet the Bible seems to be being fulfilled. Jesus said there would be wars and rumors of wars. And the Lord told us about some of these events that are taking place. But can I tell you something that God spoke to my heart about? We are not going to see peace on this earth until the Prince of Peace comes back and sets up his millennium reign. So just mark it down. There's going to be a continuation of trouble and continuation of difficulties in this life. All of that's pointing to the Lord when he comes back again. And tell me today, do you have peace with God? Do you have the peace of God that passes all understanding? It's one thing to talk about peace. It's another thing to have that peace. And some of you today, if you knew you died, you're not ready to meet God. I talked with a young lady just the other day and asked her about her relationship with God. And she said, "No, I'm not ready to meet God." She's in her late 20s. She said, "My dad's a deacon. He goes to church." She said, "I was brought up in the church." And I said, "Well, what about you? Doesn't it bother you if you died, you go to hell? I mean, doesn't it bother you that there is a real hell and there's a real heaven?" And she said, "Well, it does kind of bother me." And I said, "Well, why aren't you getting things right?" And I looked at her and she looked at me. I didn't have but a minute. And she said, she was a young black lady that worked at a store. I said, "What about you?" You know what she said? She just kind of looked at me funny. And I said, "You've got something in your life you're not willing to turn loose." That is, you're not willing to turn and repent and turn to Jesus. And I know what it is. You procrastinate. I know what it is. It's stubbornness. I know what it is. You think that you can do your own thing and live your own life. Well, I'll tell you what, we got to be ready for the coming of the Lord. In the light of what's going on in our world, God placed this message on my heart to share with you today. And here's the title, In the Light of His Coming. In the light of His coming. And this is what God wants me to share with you. There are three ways that you can be confident and I can be confident. There are three ways we can live here and live hereafter. There are three ways that I want you to today that will give you again a secure life, a life of peace and joy and victory. How to overcome. If you got your Bibles, turn please to the book of 1 John chapter 2. Stand to your feet. Let's read this text together. If you're able, if you're not, that's fine. 1 John chapter 2. Three ways that we can face whatever may come our way with confidence. With confidence. The day that we're listening by this tape, they're going to hear this tape. I don't know where they're at. They may be on the other side of the world. But there's some of us that are troubled and we don't have peace and we're anxious and we're worried and we're wondering this and wondering that. But God, as His Word has declared, that we can face no matter whatever it is with confidence. In 1 John chapter number 2. 1 John chapter 2. Now you're well aware of the fact that in 1 John was written primarily to believers. And John, in this wonderful epistle, he carries us through mainly two themes. One, have fellowship with God. Two, our relationship with God, or our sonship, if you will. And he comes to chapter 2, and for the sake of time, one verse just leaped off the pages to my heart as we read the text today. 1 John chapter 2, and began verse 28. In the chapter 2 and chapter 1, there's fellowship with God, and our sins can be forgiven. And we got an advocate, and obedience is mentioned in chapter 2. And then furthermore, in verse 18, there are antichrists and many antichrists. How many believe that antichrist is already, the spirit of antichrist is already here? Oh yeah, you better believe. You better believe it. And then about overcoming the world. But I want you to look, please, in verse 28. And now, you see verse 28 if you do, say amen. Now, little children, abide in Him, that when He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. This is the Word of God. Father, now thank You for the Word of God. Thank You for the power of the cross. We thank You, Jesus. You are on the throne. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. We pray, sweet Spirit of God, have Your will and way with us today. Lord God, we look to You now. And I confess, Lord, I'm a tinkling cymbal and a sounding brass. Lord, I can do nothing, but we trust You, Father, to may the Word of God fall on good ground. And I thank You now, Satan's overcome by the blood of the Lamb. Every demon that's trying to hinder, every principality that's trying to steal away the Word of God today, we pray You'll bind the wicked one and You'll have liberty and freedom with us. Take to Your great throne and reign. Thank You now for what You've done, what You're doing, and we trust You, Jesus, to be glorified as You change us from glory to glory and from faith to faith. In Jesus' name we pray, Father, with thanksgiving. Amen and amen and amen. You may be seated. And if you're taking notes, you might want to note this. You might want to note this. Three ways that you can face tomorrow with confidence. Three ways that you can fulfill your God-given purpose. Maximize. I'm here on earth and you're here on earth. Well, what is God up to in my life? Three ways that the Lord quickened in my heart from 1 John chapter 2 and verse 28. Notice the text again. He said, and now, little children. If you look at the word and now, it means he's fixing to change the subject. Kain is the word. Kain. He's coming to a different subject. He's talked about the anointing of the Holy Spirit. He's talked about the world and the Antichrist and other subjects and topics. But now, look at verse 28 again. And now, little children, look at this. And now, little children, the word children is techna in the original language. And now, little children, abide in him. And abide in him. That when he shall appear, look at that. When he shall appear, the word appear is the word phanerothe. And the word phanerothe means this. It means circumstances that are unpredictable. When he shall appear, how many believe that Jesus is coming again? I'm telling you, he says you got to be ready. You got to be ready. You got to be ready. Blessed is the servant when his Lord comes shall find so doing. And furthermore, Jesus said, occupy till I come. And so often in the case, we get our eyes off of Jesus and we're distracted with things of the world and we're really not reaching out to the lost. But wait a minute, let me go further. He said, and now, little children, abide in him that when he shall appear. Notice there's two words used in verse 28 that describe the coming of our Lord. First is the one appear. The second is the one coming. They're two different totally words. Read it with me again. And now, little children, abide in him. I'm going somewhere with you. Hang with me. I'm going somewhere. Abide in him that when he shall appear, we shall not be ashamed. He said, but when he shall appear, we may have confidence. How many want to live in confidence in these days? That's what the message is all about. You know in your heart, you know deep down in your heart if you're troubled. You know in your life if you have been having confidence in God or if you're wondering if God's going to come through with you. You're wondering if God's going to meet the needs in your life. You're wondering, God, why is this happening in America? I've said for years, and I'm not anybody of myself, but I've said for years, folks, mark it down. When a terrorist gets a hold of a neutron bomb, you're really going to hear about the news then. And I've got a feeling it's going to happen. We're not talking about just a few, you know, it's a tragedy for anything to happen like what happened in Boston. But you wait till a terrorist gets a hold of a neutron bomb, and we're talking about blowing up a whole city, or at least quite a number of people. I'm telling you, Jesus said, these are days as the days of Noah. And in other times, we are living there. No one could deny that. The stage is being set. We are coming to that swift time when Bible prophecy is being fulfilled. No man knows the hour, only the Father in heaven. Jesus says through John, John is the only disciple who did not die a martyr's death. He had been a pastor for years. He's well up in age, wrote the Gospel of John, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, and then the book of Revelation. John's inspired by the Holy Ghost, and here's what he says. My little children, he said, and now, my little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence. The word confidence, if you might want to know, the word confidence is the word parousia. Parousia, and the word confidence means to be bold, to be bold. I'm telling you, if ever was a time we needed God's people to be bold, it's now. And so often we hide our light under a bushel. And so often we want to fit in the world instead of being peculiar people, instead of being different, instead of living holy. Listen, John says, my little children, abide in him that you may have confidence, and look at this, not be ashamed at before his coming. Before his coming, 1 John 2 and 28, before his coming. Now you might want to note that last word coming is the word parousia. It's not the same word used up there where it says when he shall appear in verse 28. That is not the word used as in his coming. When he shall appear, phanerothe, he's going to appear suddenly, unexpectedly. With the word again has to do with trials and unprepared people. I'm telling you, God's saying you need to be ready. And then not only that, but shall prepare at his coming. That last word coming is the word parousia, means Christ is coming. Here's what I want you to remember. Three ways you can live in confidence. Three ways I can live in confidence. Number one, by reaching in and reaching out. By reaching in and reaching out. I use the word abide there. I'm going to come back to it. He says, and now, little children, abide in him. There's number one, reaching in and reaching out. There's a second way that God quickened in my heart about this verse, that we can face the future with confidence. We don't know what the future holds, but praise God, we do know who holds the future. And look at this, watch this. Not only reach in and reach out, but number two, listen to me. We need to know who we are, and we need to know where we're going. Mark this down. Your identity will determine your destiny. Let me say it again. Your identity will determine your destiny. Hang on that. We're coming back to it in a moment. Number one, there's the first way we can live in confidence despite what's going on in our world. No matter what's happening in our family, thanks be to God, God's word is true. We can live in confidence. Speaking of that, I heard about a man and a wife went to the doctor. The doctor said to the man, he said, "Sir, I've got to tell you this." He said, "If you don't quit working so hard, you're working too hard." He said, "You're going to die in a month's time if you don't quit working so hard." He said, "What you need to do is tell your wife that you need to start taking it easy, a little bit more easier." He said, "Not only that, but you need to start eating right. You need to tell your wife that you need to start eating right. And not only that, but you need to eliminate some of the stress you're under." The man said to the doctor, he said, "Doc, I hear you, but will you tell my wife? It'll come better if you tell my wife." How many men know what I'm talking about? Yeah, he said, "If you'll tell my wife." Well, the wife went into the talk with the doctor, a consultation. She came out of the room, and the man said, "What did the doctor say?" She said, "You poor soul, you've got 30 days to live." It's about the size of it. Hey, number one, the first way, listen to me, you know in your heart if you go home on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and you're trying to live in this whole life and hearing the bad news and how should we relate to it? Number one, by reaching in and reaching out. The word abide there means to be in fellowship with God. The word abide there means to be in communion with God. Tell me, are you in fellowship with God right now? Have you been enjoying the communion, the sweet communion of the Lord Jesus all week long? Not just on Sunday playing church. Not just singing a few songs. Not just carrying your Bible and then putting it on the shelf and getting dusted. And not just watching some preacher on television or listening to the radio and think that you're a Bible scholar. I'm talking about being in fellowship with God. Abide in Him. Can I tell you this? We've got to reach in first. It's in Jesus that we get peace. It's in Jesus we have rest. It's in Jesus we have victory. And the reason some of us today might not be experiencing victory is we've got to learn. And I pray, God, teach me how to abide in You. Jesus said in John 15, He said, "My Father, I am the true vine. My Father is the husband. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. Every branch that bears fruit, He purges it, prunes it, that it might bring forth more fruit. Now you're clinging to the word which I've spoken unto you. Abide in Me, and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abide in the vine." The key to the Christian life is not apart from Jesus, rather abiding in Him. Now I'm going somewhere. Here's what I want you to remember now about this facing life with confidence. Reaching in. But watch this. Once we reach in, look at this, we need to learn to reach out. And there's some of us, we're so inwardly focused, we can't reach out to somebody else. When's the last time you reached out to somebody? When's the last time I got a card this week from somebody? It was a blessing to me. When's the last time you wrote a card to somebody? When's the last time you visited a neighbor? When's the last time you picked up the telephone? When's the last time you said, "Could I pray for you?" Hey, listen, we got to not only be reaching in, abide in Him, but reaching out. There are three ways we can reach out. You ready for them? Now, this is going to hit home. This is the practical application. Number one, by what we do. Number two, by what we say. Number three, by how we act. Do you get those? Number one, by what we do. Number two, by what we say. And number three, by how we act. We can reach out to our loved ones. We can reach out to our children and people around us that work with us and in the school system. Reach in first and then reach out. Reach out. Reach out. Some of you today just need to reach out your hand to faith. Some of you today just need to say, "I've been praying about this individual, but God, I know they're going through trouble and I want to reach out to them. I want to reach out." Will you do it right now? Number one, by what we do. You've heard that old saying, "I can't hear what you're saying because I see what." I can't hear you. "I see what you're doing." By what we do. I'm talking about showing unconditional love. I'm talking about speaking words of affirmation. I'm talking about forgiving. I'm talking about today. By what we do. by what we do. I heard about one husband was bragging with two other men about his wife. And one man said to the other man, said, my wife, when we first got married, he said, bless God, I put my foot down and laid the law down. He said, really, what'd you do? He said, I told my wife, he said, I told her that she was going to clean the house every day. The other two men said, oh, really, what happened? He said, well, first day, nothing doing. Second day, nothing happened. By the third day, she cleaned the house and has been doing it ever since. Second man said, well, that's good. I can beat that. He said, I put my foot down and told my wife, you're going to clean the house and you're going to cook meals for me every day when we first got married. The other two men said, how did it happen? What happened? Tell us about it. And the man said, well, first day she didn't cook, nor did she clean the house. But after about the third day and fourth day, my house has been clean. She's got meals on the table every day. The third man spoke up and said, I got both of y'all beat. I've got both of y'all beat. Said, how you got this beat? He said, well, I told my wife, I put my foot down and said, when I got married, I'm going to have meals on the table. The house is going to be clean and you're going to cut the grass. The other two men said, well, how'd it work? He said, well, the first day I couldn't see any changes. The second day I still couldn't see any changes. Third day I really couldn't see any changes. But by the fourth day, the swelling began to go down. By what we do. By what we do. Some of us today need to maybe say, God, change my heart. I've had a critical attitude. Come on, talk to me. I've been critical toward my children. I've been negative toward my wife. I hadn't been building up, but I've been tearing down. Listen, how can we live in the light of Jesus coming with confidence? By reaching in and reaching out. Abide in Him. Not only how, what we do, but number two, what we say. Watch this now. The Bible teaches in Proverbs 18 and 19 that death and life are in the power of the tongue. Let's say that together. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Say it again. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. How many would say, brother, pastor, I wish I could take some words back that I've said. Come on. We all at times say things that we really don't want to say, but once you say it, the damage is done. The old saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That's not true. Words do hurt us, but we can say, God, help me. We can ask God to forgive us, and we can ask who we've spoken to harshly or bitter toward or been ugly to or had a bad attitude toward. We can say, God spoke in my heart, and I'm sorry the way I spoke, and I won't. Not only I've asked Him to forgive me, now I need you to forgive me. Reaching in and then reaching out by what we do and then what we say. What we say is so important. I heard about a husband and wife that went shopping together. How many of you husbands and wives go shopping together? Amen. When you first get married, you go shopping and then you learn, let mama go shopping by herself. Amen. Let her get what she wants to get. I heard about a husband and wife that went shopping. They hadn't been married too long. And all of a sudden, after 2 hours of shopping, and his wife had tried on about every dress in the store from one store to another. Finally, after 2 hours, the old boy was getting it. He was learning that he better be careful what he said. And his wife came out with another dress. She said, how does this look? He said, boy, that dress looks wonderful. He said, it makes your waist look smaller. It makes your legs look longer. And it makes your hips look slender. About that time, a lady in the store said, bless God, if there's a dress that makes me look like that, I'll buy every one of them. Be careful what you say. Be careful what you do. Number three, be careful how you act. Hey, listen to me. Look up here. You know people are watching you. I said, do you know people are watching you? They see you when you go to Walmart. They see you when you go to Larry's. They see you when you're out there in the yard. People are watching you. There's the Gospel of Matthew, the Gospel of Mark, the Gospel of Luke, the Gospel of John, and then the Gospel according to you. What do they see when they see you? What do they see when they see me? So often they don't see Jesus in us, but people are watching us. How do you act? What do you do? I was at the hospital this week in Macon, been there a couple of times, been in Atlanta, and I had the privilege one day this week to meet a man. We stepped out in the hall. Here's what that man said to me. Daddy's mamas, are y'all listening? I want you to hear me. Grandparents, listen to me. Here's what he told me. He said, I hadn't spoken to my son in years. I said, really? What's wrong? 42 years old. His son's 42 years old. I said, really, what's the... And I could tell he needed somebody to talk with. Next thing you know, he began to tell me all these problems, all these difficulties. He said, he's done this. He said he don't respect me. He don't respect his mama. He said he spends money and he don't call and all these things. And here's what he went on to tell me. Now, I'm telling you, I'm preaching to some people right here today that may be going through the same similar circumstances. And I want you to listen to me carefully. Relationships are important, vertically and then horizontally. Here's what that man told me. And by the way, this man claimed to be a Christian. He says he's a Christian, been a Christian for years. But the boy, here's what he went on to tell me. He said, I'm so mad. I'm so hurt. I'm so disappointed. Question, how many have ever been disappointed? All of us have been there at one time or another. Our children don't always do what we want them to do. They don't always react the way we want them to react. Nor does our husband or wife. Can I get an amen? You know, you're there. Here's what that man told me. He said, I'm so frustrated and agitated. He said, I took my son out of my will. I said, really? He said, yeah. He said, I don't even want him to come to my funeral. My wife and I have decided we don't want him to be at our funeral. Now, y'all looking at me like a calf looking at a new gate, but you know you've been there too. Many of you have been there too. You know we live in a troubled world, and the devil's come to kill, steal, and destroy. I'm talking about living in confidence as we live in the light of Jesus coming. So how should we act? Here's what I told that man as we stood out in the hall. Hey, I understand. I've been hurt too. I've been disappointed too. If you didn't raise your hand when I said, if you've been disappointed, you're lying. All of us have been disappointed at one time or another. But you know what? We've got to get past that. We've got to keep moving on. We've got to, watch this, let some of that stuff go. We've got to learn to forgive. Jesus said we've got to move on with Him or else we get bogged down. And there's some of you today that need to let some things go in the past. I shared with this man several scriptures, one of which was Ephesians 4:32, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. I shared with him how Jesus had changed my life. How many today are a Christian? Let me see your hand. How many have been forgiven a whole lot of sins? Let me see your hand. I don't know about you, but I know about me. My sins were my soul. I'm ashamed of some of the things God's forgiven me of, but I'm, thank God, forgiven. Hey, look. And I told that man, like I want to tell you today, I don't know what you've been forgiven, but I know Jesus sure has forgiven me a whole lot of stuff. And not only that, but Jesus said this, if I don't forgive from my heart, not my head, my heart, he said, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you. You've got to, watch this, now don't miss this. We don't feel like forgiving because sometimes we don't feel like forgiving, amen? You've got to will to forgive. And some of you today, you're trapped. You're still sulking over stuff that happened years ago. And God's saying, you're the loser. You're the loser. Let it go. Move on with God. Live a life that's free and a life of liberty and peace. And I don't know what God's speaking to you about. Here's what that man, I said, let's pray about this thing. Have you prayed? He said, no. We stood out there in the hall and prayed. And I said, oh God, I know what he's going through. I've been through it too. And I'm there right now. And I want to pray for you right now that God will help you release that hurt or that pain that's been inflicted by somebody else. You say, I've done that. You might need to do it again. You say, but the devil keeps bringing it back to my mind. That's fine. Tell the devil, get behind you. Tell the devil, I've done that. I've released it. And I want to release it again. How many know that when you do something, praise God, the enemy's going to try to come in like a flood and gain back that ground? And today, some of you have been mad and angry about stuff that's happened, and you're not moving on with God. You're not enjoying His fellowship. You're not abiding in Christ because there's problems. The Lord says, but you come to me and I'll set you free. Thank God He will set us free. Number one, by reaching in and reaching out. There's a second way we can face the future with confidence. And here it is. It's found in verse 28. And now, little children, abide in Him, that when He shall appear, you shall have confidence and not be ashamed before His coming. Do you notice the word little children? My little children, verse 28, My little children, I thank God I'm a child of God. Now watch this, now don't miss this. You know how you can face life with confidence? Here's how. By knowing who you are and by knowing where you're going. If you don't know who you are, you will not face life with confidence. Do you know who you are? I've got good news for you. God calls us His children. He says, you're my little child. I don't know about y'all, but I can testify today. Thank God I've been justified. I've been sanctified. I've been reconciled to God. I praise the Lord. Now I'm a child of the King. Now I have peace that passes understanding. Now I have joy unspeakable, full of glory. Now it's in Him that I live and move and have my being. Now it's about Him and not about me. I'm telling you now, we are the children of God. We've been bought with a price. We're blood bought and blood washed. Our identity certainly affects our destiny. And what you just need to do today is say, hallelujah, my God accepts me. My God forgives me. My God's washed my sins away. And now I'm bone of His bone and flesh of His flesh. And in Him I live and move and have my being. And now He says, I'm the light of the world. And now He says, I'm the salt of the earth. And now He says that I am in Him and He is in me, the hope of glory. Now we are adopted in the family of God. Now we've been chosen in Christ Jesus. Now we've been predestinated to be conformed to His image. Now we have been made accepted and beloved. Now we have been sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. Now we are heaven bound. Now I'm on a journey heavenward. Hallelujah. Now my God lives in me with the power of the Holy Ghost. And now I'm more than a conqueror in Him. Praise God, now it's about Jesus, and I want you to know I'm glad I'm a part of the family of God. Amen and amen and amen. And so our identity in Him determines our destiny. Watch this, don't miss this now. Don't miss this. Our identity in Him determines our destiny. And so know who you are. Do you realize who you are? You're not only created in Christ Jesus, but God says we're made in His image. Who you are. Don't forget it. And speaking of forgetful-minded, how many are getting a little forgetful-minded these days? Man, I had to tell you, we had a baptism service back on Easter, March the 31st. I told the young man, Tyler Brewer, I said, now listen, don't forget your change of clothes. Don't forget your towel. I said it at least five times. Don't forget your change of clothes. Don't forget your towel. On Easter Sunday, I got ready to go up to the baptismal pool, walked in the room, and guess what I forgot? My change of clothes and my towel. I'm talking about being in a suit like this, getting on in the water. What do you do when you forget your clothes and your towel? You send Deanna back home to get them, amen? I said, honey, go back and get that, please. And she had to go back. But I want you to know, don't forget who you are in Christ. Don't forget it. Then when you know who you are in Christ, watch this, when you know, I didn't say what your mom and daddy said about you. I didn't say what the preacher said about you. I didn't say what your friends said about you. I didn't say what your children said about you. I said what Jesus says about you. Wait a minute now. Listen to me, beloved. Not only who we are, but where we're going. How many know you're going to heaven? Let me see your hand. No doubt about it. Most hands were raised, some weren't. Can I tell you something? And I'm not being critical. I'm just telling you the facts. Are y'all listening? Say amen if you're listening. Deanna and I went to Cracker Barrel. How many like to eat at Cracker Barrel? We went over to Cracker Barrel. And this was a few weeks ago. And I went to the men's room first. And then she went and was seated at a table. The host did. I walked over to the table. She was already sitting down. And the waiter was standing at the table. I looked eyeball to the waiter. Didn't say a word. And I saw black hair. I saw a hairnet pulling over their hair. How many know what a hairnet is? Saw a hairnet. And then I looked. For some reason, I was just eyeball to eyeball. I was at the table. They were at the table. And I looked, and I could see. Watch this. I could see some black stubbles. Not long, but they just, you know, men have black stubbles. Most men don't come over here. Amen. Don't come over here. Anyway, most men, and I just looked down. Justin's clean shaven, amen. But I looked down and saw, and then, watch this, and then I looked down at a name tag. I was shocked. I was in shock for a minute. I looked at the name tag. Guess what the name tag said? Jennifer. I said, wait a minute. Maybe they mean Jimmy, and they just forgot the Y and put in an F-E-R. And I'm standing at their table, and I'm not being critical. Listen to me. This happened. This is true. And all of a sudden, this person standing there said, can I help you? I'm just telling all the truth. Brother Pastor was taken by surprise. It was a shock. It was a shock. I couldn't help it. And I said, yes, give me some tea. Listen, and I sat down at the table. I'm telling you all the gospel truth now. I sat down at the table, and Deanna could see I was shaking badly, shaking badly. My heart went out to this person. And I sat down at the table, and guess what Deanna said? Don't say a word. All I could think about, next day in the paper, Georgia Baptist pastor gets thrown out of Cracker Barrel. But I confess to you, it got the best of me. How many know what I'm talking about? It got the best of me. I couldn't help it. And they came to the table. Jennifer came to the table and said, would you like for me to bring the salad first or second? And I was processing this. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Processing it. The computer was going slow. I was hung up. I don't know. And then I said, yes, ma'am. I'm telling all the truth. Yes, sir, no, yes, ma'am. And then it finally got the best of me. Jennifer came back to the table, and we were sitting there, and how many know that sometimes we listen to our wives, sometimes we don't? I said, I just want to ask you a question. Are you a Christian? It was really bothering me. Here was a young man. It was obvious, as far as I know. He was a young man, and he was dressed and had a name tag of a lady, a woman. And I was really concerned. My heart began to be burdened about it, in all seriousness. I said, are you a Christian? And I don't remember, they just made a quick comment and was gone. We didn't see him again. Y'all know what I'm talking about? We didn't see him again. I began to get burdened for that individual. I said, Lord, oh God. And we're living in a world right now, my brother and sister, that's becoming more and more this way. What do we do? How do we act? How do we respond? We need to know who we are and where we're going. Young people, look at me. I want y'all to look up here just a moment. Every young person in the house of God today, look up here. Your identity is who God says you are, not what some psychologist or psychiatrist says you are. And listen to me now. Listen to me. I want to say, I've been thinking about this, praying about it since. And I prayed for Jennifer / Jimmy. I did. I prayed, oh God. And in my heart, I wish I'd had more time to talk, but I didn't. Look at the young people, listen to me, don't miss this. See if you agree with me, adults. Just because you look at another person, like a young man, if it's a young man, and you look at somebody else and you admire some things about them, maybe they're strong, maybe they're fast, maybe they're smart, just because you look and see and admire some qualities and characteristics of them does not mean you're homosexual. I can't hear you. Young girls, look at me. Just because you see a young lady that's nice and maybe attractive and you like their hair and you like, whatever, you like the way that does not mean you're a lesbian. I need somebody to help me there. You are created by God to be who you are. Enjoy your creation. Accept for who you are. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. We have got a world that's heading down a perverted path, saying that guys are women and women are guys. Do you realize, we looked a couple of weeks ago, now they've got up in north, some, I think it's Massachusetts, now they've got guys that say they're girls, and they can go in the girls' bathroom, and nobody can say anything about it. Can y'all hear me? I'm telling you, that's happening all over the place. And young people, you need to know who you are in Christ. Amen and amen and amen. There's a third and final, my time's gone. Number one, know not only reaching inwardly, reaching outwardly, but number two, knowing who you are and where you're going. knowing who you are and where you're going. How many believe that we as a church need to start praying for people in our community may be confused on some of these issues? They may, like we were. I don't know about you, but thank God Jesus has saved my soul. Come on, talk to me. And by the way, he's in the life-changing business. But wait a minute. He loves us. Watch this. He loves us enough to not leave us like we are. He loves us in order to change us. That's right. That's right. Anyway, that's pastor's opinion. All right, so number one, reach in, reach out. Number two, know who you are and where you're going. Number three, and I'll be done, and it's this. Not only reach in and reach out, know who you are and where you're going, but number three, and here's what I want you to do. Get filled up and then go back and pour out. Get filled up and then go out of here and pour out. Filled up. And then give out. I remember as a teenager working at a gas station when people would drive up. How many remember these days? They'd drive up and I'd say, can I help you? They'd say, fill her up. How many remember those days? When you checked the oil and you filled up the tank, you fill up the tank. There's some mamas and daddies today here that you're tired, you're weary. The culture is changing. God's word does not change. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And some of you, your children are wearing you out. You don't know what you're going to do about it. And God wants to fill you up today to go out of this place and pour out and give out for the glory of God. I need somebody to help me. I need somebody to help me. I need somebody to help me. Who'll help me? Who'll help me? Come on, Wesley. I want to close on this. We fill up and then we give out. The word I want to use is used in 1 John 2:28. Now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, you shall have confidence. You shall have confidence and not be ashamed before his coming. I believe God's calling some grandpas and grandmas and moms and dads to run this race. I know you're tired. I know you've stumbled. I know you've dropped the baton. How many believe we're in a race this side of heaven? If you don't believe that, Paul said, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Paul also wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, he said, we're running a race. It's a race of holiness, not to receive a corruptible crown, but an incorruptible crown. 1 Corinthians 9, 24 through 27. And furthermore, the writer of Hebrews said in Hebrews chapter 12, wherefore, seeing we also compass about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every sin and the weight that does easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Hey, how many have ever run? Have you ever ran in a relay race? How many have ever run in a relay race? You know how you do it? You got legs. You got certain legs. Come here, Carrie. I need your help too. Come here. We got certain legs. You know what I mean by legs? I'm not just talking about like his legs. I'm talking about. Can you hear me okay? Okay, amen. You got cotton in here. You got certain legs. And I want you to get right here, buddy. I want you to get right here. And I want you to get right here, okay? Can you hear me okay? I want you to get right here. Have you ever run in a race? Have you ever run in a race? Have you ever run in a relay race where you have a baton? Have you ever run in a relay race where you have a baton? All right, here's what I want you to see. All right, when you're in a relay race with a baton, which I think we are right now, the first runner takes off on the race, and he gets ready to pass the baton to the second runner, who in turn will pass the baton to the third runner. Y'all got it? All right, I'm going to run around once without falling, amen? I'm going to pass the baton to Wesley. Now, Wesley, I'm watching you how you get the baton. I'm watching how you do it. And then Wesley's going to run around once, and then he's going to come and pass the baton to you, Carrie. Do you know how to take baton? I'm going to watch you how you take that baton, all right? Okay, the race on your mark, get set, go. I'm running the race, I'm running the race. Get ready, Wesley, get ready, Wesley. You gonna stand like that? Now we're in a race. Man, you train, get ready, get ready, get ready. I'm running around here, I've got the baton, and I'm getting ready to hand it to Wesley. Wait a minute, Wesley. You stood right there before you got the baton, right? You did good, but here's what I want you to remember. In a relay race, Let's rewind that, okay? Let's play that back. All right, now I'm getting ready. Now you're going to be running now, okay? How would a relay racer look? You'd be standing facing the other way, right? And you would be ready for me to give you the baton. Listen to this now. A relay race, a man or a woman will not stand there and wait for the baton. They'll lose ground. They'll lose the race. What do? You got to run beside me, man. You got to run beside me, man. You got to run beside me. And wait a minute. You run up behind them, okay? You did good. Stand over here again. I want y'all to get this. Carrie, did you see how he did it? He ran beside me and took the baton. He didn't just stand there and take it. So when he gets ready, and make your curve out here. When he gets ready, you start running. That's right. Start, and then he's going to hand it to you. And then you run, girl. Run, girl. All right? Here, let me start off. Now, y'all ready? Y'all got the plan. All right? We're in a race. All right, on your mark. I'm going to run around once. Okay, on your mark. Get set. Go. All right, I'm running the race, man. We're racing somebody else. We got to beat him, man. We got to go. And now I'm getting ready to hand this baton to Wesley. Watch, I takes it. Good. Run around one time. Bring your around here. Carrie, get ready to take the baton. Good. Go. Did we lose or win? Amen. Listen, we're in this thing together. I want to pass the baton to you. And I want to pass the baton to you. And I want to pass the baton to you. We're in this race together. But we got to run together. We can't just stand there and sit there. I'm going to pass the baton to you. And if you're just standing there at church and just sitting and not running with me, I need some people to run with me. Are you going to run with me? If we don't run together. See, often people sit in church and they're just standing there waiting for the baton instead of running with us this race of holiness. Are there some mamas in here say, Brother Pastor, I'm going to start running this race. Let's stand together.